Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, alongside my co-host, Trey Lyle, who is coming to us from Kansas via Zoom once again. Trey, how are you doing on this lovely day?
Doing pretty good, you know. Glad to be back on. Excited to talk about a 2020 baseball season, which we're doing this episode. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing pretty well, you know, just hanging in there with everything that's going on in the world. I'm really excited that we will have the Major League Baseball season coming up because we are just over a week away. It's really weird to say that we're that close to Major League Baseball, because if you had asked me maybe 2 weeks ago, I would be like, yeah, it's not happening. But here we are, just over a week away from opening day, and it seems like it's really going to happen. You know, when players started reporting to camp, there were all these positive COVID tests and a whole bunch of delays with the testing, and everyone thought that it was going to get shut down again, but it looks like they might make it to opening day.
Yeah, and it's about to be a sports overload. Obviously, the MLS is already back, but we're about to have baseball, hockey, basketball, NASCAR. I mean, NASCAR's been back for a little bit, and it's been a great season so far. All-Star Race is, I guess, we record this on Tuesday, but podcast comes out on Wednesday, so it'll be tonight as of when it airs. It comes out on the airwaves. So a lot of sports. It's about to be a sports overload. So if you're a sports fan in general, it's going to be a great time. But obviously, baseball here very shortly. And they're going to have about a week for themselves, kind of the major leagues till the NBA comes back. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that week. I think leading it off with Nats Yankees is kind of big, because you always got to start with the defending champ, and then you put the most popular most popular team, basically, or the most famous team, I should say, with them. I think that was a smart move by baseball.
Yeah, that opening night game will definitely be exciting. Then following that one, we get the Giants and the Dodgers, which, even though the Giants aren't that great right now, it's always a
classic
rivalry.
Yeah, classic rivalry. Plus, you get Cole versus Scherzer in game one, which is two of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, so both of those games should be very exciting on opening night next Thursday, just over a week from right now. What we're going to get into this week is the first of our season previews. We're going to go over our American League predictions for the 2020 MLB season. We're doing the American League this week. Next week, we'll get into the National League. And so we're just going to go through each division, look at who we think is going to win, teams that might stand out, and look at the awards and how the playoffs will go, in our opinion. So this should be fun. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see who ends up being right at the end of the season.
Yeah, probably neither of us knowing how this goes. I think divisions might be, except maybe one, I think is going to be really, really close. Maybe two. It depends on how certain teams get to the start. But I think, I think with a short season, it could throw a lot of oddballs. I am least confident in my wild card picks, because I think there could be a big clump of teams that could have similar records in the 60-game series, especially when you think about who you're playing. Like, let's be real here. The fact that the East teams get to play the Orioles a lot is good. The fact that the Central teams play the Tigers a lot is really good. Those are probably the two worst teams in the AL. And the Mariners are not that great either. So the fact that probably the top-end teams get to play a really bad team a lot, especially in the American League side compared to the National League side, where you could argue probably the three worst teams in baseball are all in the AL. And so it kind of gives those teams an advantage when you get to play a bad team a lot.
So let's get right into it with our American League previews, starting with the American League East. I feel like we're both going to have the same division winner for this one. You got to go with the Yankees.
What are you talking about? The Baltimore Orioles? No, yes, of course. I will say this. I did a lot. I was doing research today, and I didn't realize this. the Tampa Bay Rays are perfectly built for this 60-game season, and it would not surprise me to keep it close with the Yankees. They have a really good rotation and a really, really good bullpen. And their style with the different ways they want to utilize their bullpen is going to be very effective in this 60-game season. However, I think the Yankees filled their one hole they've had for the last 3 years with Gerrit Cole. They've overcome so much, and I think having a DH in every single one of their games where they don't have to worry about playing Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield anymore, I think it helps a lot. I will pick the Yankees. I think the Rays will not – it wouldn't surprise me if the Rays – I think it's a two-horse race. I think just the Red Sox with their leadership at top losing Mookie Betts, I just don't see them adjusting with enough time to kind of figure it out. So I think it's a two-team race in the AL East. It wouldn't shock me entirely if the Rays won it all, but I'm going to go with the Yankees. I think they're the class of the AL, and I think they'll get it done.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. You know, the Rays do have a good team, and they'll definitely compete and contend. But, I mean, even with, like, the injuries and Aaron Judge being out and DJ LeMahieu testing positive for coronavirus, even with all the players that they'll have out, the Yankees still have a great team. They've got a lot of depth and a lot of talent, and I just think that there's no way anyone's going to beat them in that division. I've been looking at the Zips projections on Fangraphs, and they have them going 37-23 on the season. It's interesting, when the season got shortened to 60 games, the Yankees actually had a big drop-off in their odds to make the postseason. They were at 97%, now it's 65%. So, I mean, they're still going to make the postseason, but it's just interesting how that happened. But I think they're going to win the AL East, no doubt about it.
But just, I think with that, it's just the lack of games. Like, I think this team, I think secretly, like, if they started out early, they would have missed probably both Stanton and Judge. And now that the pandemic happened, I think the bright side for the Yankees is they got healthy. They really did, because DJ LeMahieu should be back by the time the season starts. Granted, I don't know if he plays week one just because the time's on the field. But Judge will be back. I believe Judge is going to be back by opening day, maybe a little bit after that. So the Yankees got healthy during this break. The only missing, it's gonna be Severino being out for the year. That's a big loss. But I think when it comes to the Yankees, they haven't been built through their starting rotation, but they have Gerrit Cole. So you're basically this year with take last year's team. Lose Luis Severino and replace him with Gerrit Cole, it's just too hard to not pass up as the favorite, especially in the AL. And I had 45-15. I think that was me just reaching a little bit. I had the Rays at 38-22. I think the Yankees and the Rays are going to be in that 35 to like 45 win range, and be the class of the AL East.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So we're going with the Yankees in the AL East. In the AL Central, I'm going kind of, not too crazy, but I'm going with the White Sox. I think that they've got a really talented team, a really young team. They do have a tough division because they have the Twins and the Indians, but the White Sox they're on the rise, and I think this is their year.
As much as I wanted to pick the Cleveland Indians, and I think this is, to me, the hardest division to pick because it wouldn't shock me, the White Sox, because of their youth and they could get to a hot start and compete. I think Kansas City, I'm going to root for them a lot. Being now the new local team for me, they have a lot of young talent and they're going to be developing. The Tigers, just the Tigers. I went with the Twins. I like their lineup so much. I think with the universal DH, they can play Nelson Cruz every day now. And it's going to help them a lot. And I just like their lineup so much. I think they have one of the best lineups in baseball. It's going to be interesting to see. I picked the Twins before I found out Byron Buxton got hurt with a foot injury during an inter-squad game. The Twins are optimistic to come back. But if he doesn't come back earlier, I would say I pick Cleveland. Cleveland still has Francisco Lindor. They have Terry Francona, who's one of the best managers in baseball. Their lineup's just about the same. Obviously, their pitching staff has been – what's kind of hurt them over the last years, but I think with the improved lineup, and I think runs are going to be so much. I think we're going to see a lot of runs here because pitching is going to be off, especially early on, just due to lack of reps in there. So it wouldn't surprise me. I think this is the closest division to pick, but I have the Twins slightly winning the AL Central.
I think that the the White Sox, they've just got a lot of youth. I don't like, it's not too bold of a pick because I really think that the Central could go to any of those three teams. But I mean, they brought in Dallas Keuchel and Yasmani Grandal in free agency this offseason. They have Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez. Yoan Moncada is really developing into a great player. You know, he kind of struggled his first few years, but now he's developing into a really solid player for the White Sox. They've got these really good young hitters. They have Tim Anderson, who's always a great hitter. I mean, they just brought in a lot of youth and brought in some solid veterans in free agency. And I just think that, you know, in a 60-game season, they don't have to be good for 162 games. They just have to be hot for 60 games. And I think that they can do that with this team that they have.
I will say that Central teams have to play probably the best set of opponents, because you could argue that the NL Central is the best division in all of baseball with the Twins, Brewers, and Cardinals. So I think the schedule hurts the White Sox a lot in terms of they're going to be playing good teams a lot. And I just think that's kind of why I'm trusting the Twins right now, is that they've proven they can hit. I mean, they can rake. And I think especially with the teams they're going to face, that's going to be big, because you're going to have to face the Cubs, Brewers, and
Cardinals and Reds.
And Reds. And then what's the fifth team in that division?
The Pirates. Yeah.
And the Pirates. Well, all right. So four of those, so that's 20 games of your season, roughly. So you want to say that's five. So you're playing five each. So that's roughly 16 games against the best four of the better teams in the National League, four of the top 20 or 15 teams in the National League, you could argue. And so that's going to be very difficult, plus against the Indians. And it's a lot. It's going to be – this could be the division which you see someone squeak it out with like a 32, 33 kind of win, because they're going to be playing a tough – most times they're going to be playing a tough opponent.
Yeah, both of those Central divisions will be really fun to watch because, I mean – in the AL Central, like we said, we got the Twins, Indians, and White Sox. And then the NL Central, all four of those teams, you know, the Pirates are just like the one that's not going to compete. But the other four, the Reds, Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, they're all going to be good. So both Central divisions will be really fun to watch this year.
Pirates fans, if you're listening, just say at least you're not the Tigers. Shout out to Paul Van Wagner and Jake Lyman.
All right, moving on to the American League West. I'm not going with the favorite here. I'm going with the Oakland A's. I think that they get it done this year, take over from the Houston Astros.
I really wanted to pick the A's. To me, this fits the A's kind of Moneyball style with Billy Beane. I just couldn't. I couldn't. And I think individual players mean more this year. I'm going with it. I think the Los Angeles Angels win the division.
Whoa.
They've added Anthony Rendon. Shohei Ohtani's fully healthy. I think the Los Angeles Angels get hot early with Rendon. I mean, their lineup is so much better now with Ohtani in the DH role. You have Trout. You have Rendon. And then I think Pujols can contribute a lot more in 60 games than he can in 162 games. I think it helps that a little bit because Pujols will have his moments. I don't know. I have this gut feeling that individual players mean more, and I'm going to take the best player in the world, and I really want to see the Angels in the playoffs. So I had – before we started, I picked the Astros to win. And as we were talking, my gut was just telling me it's the A's or the Angels. So I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Angels to win the division.
All right. Glad. I like it.
So – I should have picked the Astros, I just physically can't. So I'm going to pick – I think the Angels – I need to go off on one of these picks because I've gone chalk so far. So I'm going to go with the Angels. I think this is going to be a crazy season. I would not be shocked if the A's won the division. But something I did read is the Angels market-wise are one of the teams that has to travel the least, like in terms of markets, because obviously they're going to play in L.A., and then San Diego. And so I think that's going to help them a lot. And I think the Angels get it done barely over the Astros. And obviously, I'm giving a big hint of who my MVP is going to be.
Well, I mean, that would be great. I'd love to see Mike Trout make the playoffs again. But I just think that the Oakland A's have been a really good team the past 2 years. I mean, they've won 97 games each of the past 2 years. And they finish in second place closely behind the Astros. I just think they're really built for this kind of season. They're a really good team. They're projected to go 33-27, finish in second place. But I really think that they're going to end up winning this division. I mean, they've got Matt Chapman, Matt Olson, Sean Manea, Chris Davis. They've got just a really talented roster. And I think this is their year to finally win the American League West over the Astros.
I don't disagree with that pick, honestly. I completely could see the A's. Like, I honestly, when I first did write down my predictions, I put the A's at the top, and it was just like, I don't know. I think it's a three-team race again. I think the Central and the West are very – I think these races, if it was 162 games, I'd pick the Astros. I think you compress these races so much in a 60-game season because anything can happen, and the games mean so much more. So that's why I think these all could be really close and go down the wire. So sometimes you got to listen to your gut, and my gut is telling me to pick the LA Angels, and Mike Trout finally wins the division and gets to the postseason.
All right. Now, time for the wild card teams. Who are you going with for your two American League wild cards?
So obviously I'm going to pick Tampa Bay. After I've said how they could win the division in the AL East. And I don't see this team. This team's too good not to miss the playoffs. I'll take Houston. So Houston and the Rays are my two wild card teams.
I feel like I've got to go with the Rays also because they're a really good team. But then I'm torn between one of those central teams and the Astros because the Astros are obviously a really good team, but the Twins and the Indians are going to be good also.
The factor in the West is they have to play the Dodgers, which is probably going to be the best of the team in baseball right now. That could hurt. The two series against the Angels, that's six games. That's a tenth of your season, if you really want to think about that. That's a lot of games. So I think that's the thing about the West in the AL. They're going to play a lot of good teams because the Diamondbacks have shown a lot of improvement, adding Madison Bumgarner. The Giants will be solid. I don't think they'll be that great. And then the Padres have a lot of young talent and Manny Machado.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for my wild card teams, I'm going to go with the Rays and the Twins.
All right. So we almost have similar playoff teams, except I have the Angels and the Astros, and you have the White Sox.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's it. That's the only gap. You have the White Sox and the A's.
Yeah. Yep. So. All right. Book it. Mark it down. Check back at the end of the season. Once we get to the postseason with all these division winners and wildcard teams, how do you see the playoffs going down, Trey?
So obviously, wildcard winner I have is the Astros. I think they just in one game, I'll take them over Tampa Bay. Then I have them playing the Yankees in the first round. I'll take the Yankees. I think they'll be very motivated to play. And I think they'll have Gerrit Cole, and I think that's the difference. I think when you look at that game again, it'll be the difference. Plus having – well, I guess there wouldn't be a home field advantage, sort of home field advantage, I guess. Bottom half, I had the Angels and the Twins. I really like the Twins, and so I'm going to pick the Twins to beat the Angels. Their lineup's just a little bit better, so is their pitching. But it goes to the ALCS. It's simple. When you have the Yankees and the Twins play each other in a series, the Yankees win. So I'll take the Yankees in the ALCS over the Twins. I'll say six games.
All right. I'd say, so my wild card game would be the Rays and the Twins. I'd say the Rays win that, end up playing the Yankees in the division series. So then you have the White Sox and the A's against each other. The A's win that. And then the Yankees are going to beat the Rays. So we end up with a Yankees-A's ALCS. And, I mean, I don't always like picking the favorite, but it's hard to pick against the Yankees. I think the Yankees end up winning the American League. All right, so moving on to the awards. The MVP award, I don't think we really need to talk about that much because we're both going to go with Mike Trout, and I don't see how you can ever pick against Mike Trout to win the MVP.
Yeah, it's like picking LeBron James to win the NBA MVP. You have about a 50-50 shot because he's going to be there first, or some random person's going to finish second, or he's going to get it. Like, he's the best player in the world. It's not even close, in my opinion. I think maybe an Aaron Judge, a Garrett Cole, I will throw. I've seen Alex Bregman get nominated for it, maybe get picked. I can't think of that many other people. Like, Mike Trout has 60 games. He could really hit 400. And, like, so we'll see what happens. I'm going safe here with the MVP. I'm going to go Mike Trout. I went pretty safe with my first two award pick. I do a lot of research for Rookie of the Year.
Oh, Rookie of the Year was pretty easy for me. But so Mike Trout, MVP, that's pretty much the consensus pick every year. Cy Young, I have two. I couldn't really pick one. I'm going with either Garrett Cole or Corey Kluber. I think you got two guys, both in new teams, new cities, and I think that they'll both have standout years. Obviously, Garrett Cole could have won the Cy Young last year. Corey Kluber has been a great pitcher for the Indians for the past 5 years, and he's now with the Texas Rangers, and I think that he'll just continue to be great for them. But either of these guys, I think, will have a great shot at winning Cy Young.
It's going to be Garrett Cole. It's going to help. He's in pinstripes. It will. It just does. I think Garrett Cole is going to continue. I mean, the dude hasn't pitched in a while, faces the Yankees in inter-squad game, and strikes out 9 in his first appearance. Like, dude's on. And I think he's playing, like, he's in the right situation. I think the Yankees are going to use his arm right. I trust Aaron Boone, and I think the fact that he can go in and say, hey, I have one of the best bullpens behind me in baseball, which is something he didn't have with the Astros, and that's not how the Astros were built. Like, it's going to help him a lot. He might be even a bit more aggressive when it comes to pitching, knowing he has that really good bullpen behind him. So I'm going to go with Garrett Cole. Again, I went with a really safe bet. I picked the best player in baseball, and then I picked the best pitcher in baseball to win those two awards. It was pretty – I'm hedging my bets, I guess you could say.
All right, so two pretty safe picks so far. Now we get to Rookie of the Year, which you said you had to do a little bit of research on. I thought this one was pretty easy as well, but who do you have?
I have Brendan McKay, the pitcher and two-way player for the Tampa Bay Rays. It was between him and then I'm assuming your pick is from your Chicago White Sox. And so it was between those two players. I'll leave the name for you. And so, but I kind of thought, I was like, the Rays are going to play in the AL East. And he's going to get a lot more shine, I would say, because you're going to play against big market teams a little bit more, being able to play against the Nationals, the Mets, the Yankees, the Braves, the Red Sox. Like, you're going to get a lot more TV time, especially when you play in the AL East. So, plus he's a two-way player, so he could be a two-way player, and I think that adds a little bit more intrigue. So, give me Brandon McKay, who's the number 3 prospect on MajorLeague.com's rankings, and I'm assuming you're going with number 4.
I'm going with Luis Robert for the Chicago White Sox. I think that he just absolutely mashed the ball last year in the minor leagues. He batted .328 with 32 home runs, 92 RBIs, and 36 stolen bases. He was something like the youngest player to have a 30-30 season in the minor leagues in, I don't know, like 40 years or something like that. I mean, he just tore it up last year playing minor league baseball. And there's a reason that the White Sox signed him to a 6-year deal before he ever even made his MLB debut. The guy's never seen a pitch in Major League Baseball, and they thought he was worth a 6-year deal already. So he's going to come up this year, and he is going to absolutely dominate in his first full season in Major League Baseball, and he will end up winning Rookie of the Year. But I do like the Brendan McKay pick. I remember when they took him out of Louisville a couple years ago. I was really excited for him, and so I am excited to watch him actually play some this year. Both of those guys should have great seasons, but I'm going with the Chicago White Sox rookie.
That's a good pick. I had Luis first, but I was like, I got to be different. And so I went with Brandon McKay. Plus, I saw he was a two-way player, and I thought that was really interesting to see. So I'm going to go with him for Rookie of the Year. Give me a player. I know this is kind of off-topic, that you're looking either going to bounce back or is kind of flying under the radar that could have a big season.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I wasn't prepared for that. bounce back year, flying under the radar. I mean, you could say Zach Greinke for the Astros. I mean, it was not like he was bad last year, but when he got traded to the Astros, he was overshadowed by Verlander and Cole. And so now that Cole's gone, he's one of the top two pitchers in their rotation, and I think that he could have a great year.
I'll give you two. I think Miguel Andujar, he's going to probably play DH a lot for the Yankees, knowing that how good Gio Urshela and Mike has been at third base for the Yankees in terms of a glove. So I could see Andujar playing a lot at third base. This guy was really talented, got hurt last season and didn't get to play at all. And so he's a great at the bat. But give me Shohei Ohtani. I think obviously Tommy John surgery prevented him from hitting the mound. He's going to pitch again this year, and he's going to play DH. So I want to see what Ohtani does, because I think he could have a big year, especially in that 60-game season. So it's going to be – give me Shohei Ohtani, a part of the future winning AL West champion Los Angeles Angels.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that. It'll be good to see him fully healthy and see what he can do this year, because we haven't really gotten to see that in a while. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Matt, I have a question. Is Yasiel Puig signed?
He is not, but you know what? The Baltimore Orioles are interested in him. They made an offer, and someone needs to sign him. We are just over, like, we're 8 days away from opening day. Somebody needs to sign this man.
If I'm Yasiel Puig, I wouldn't want to go to the Orioles. So hopefully someone else does.
I mean, I wouldn't either, but if he really just wants to play baseball this year, you got
to. He can go to the Orioles and win 12 games.
And the Orioles need him. Compared to the rest of their outfield, they need him.
All right, I do have a question, because I think the two definite worst teams in baseball are in the American League. Does the Orioles or the Tigers win only single-digit games this year?
No, I don't think they're going to be that bad. I think they'll be able to get at least 10 wins. I don't think anyone is going to be single-digit. That would just be an awful season.
Yeah, I agree. So, obviously, yeah, you kind of went off the radar. Do you expect – I know we didn't really pick it – a team that no one thinks will make the postseason to make the postseason this year because of the 60-game format?
No, I don't think there's going to be anything like that. I mean, like the White Sox were my most outlandish pick, and even them, they have a lot of people that are saying, like, they could be good this year. This could work out in their favor. So I don't think any team is going to really surprise anybody. I think that the teams that end up making the postseason will be the teams that were in the conversation before the season started.
I agree with that. I think I wouldn't be surprised. I think something I touched on last week is these teams like the Blue Jays, the Rangers, I guess you could throw the Mariners, Orioles, Tigers in there, the Royals. I'll even throw the White Sox in, but I think the White Sox are a little level above. Is this balance of do we focus on development or do we focus on trying to make the postseason? I think within 15 games, if you have a shot, you're going to see these teams. It's just how they're going to structure the lineups. You play a lot of younger players or you play your best players. Are we going to focus on developing players? Because I think the big key is not having a minor league system to kind of work on development of key players. I mean, the number one overall pick is playing inter-squad games with the Tigers right now because there's no rookie ball or anything like that. So if you think about so Spencer Torkelson playing inter-squad with the major league team as a number one overall pick. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams choose development or how they structure lineups on these lower part teams. So it's going to be very interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, it will. You know, I think for those teams that aren't really expected to contend this year, I think they should focus on the development of their young guys, try to get them in the lineup, get some reps. I mean, I'm not saying completely throw the season away, but just try to get these guys some reps because they're not going to contend and they have these young guys that need the experience.
Yeah, I think 15 games will give you a picture. That's, what, a fifth of the season, right? Fourth of the season.
A quarter.
Yeah, and I think with most teams, you, especially in a shorter line, if you get a quarter through the season, you basically kind of know where you sit. If you look at anytime there's a short, like if you know, like pro football, you get through a quarter of the season, the first four games, and you roughly know where you're sitting. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out, because all these games matter so much more. I think you're going to see a lot more strategy used, pitching. I think the universal DH, which we'll probably touch more on tomorrow, changes a lot with the NL teams. I think it helps a couple NL teams a lot more, who I think can contend.
Yeah, I think so. And when you say tomorrow, you mean next week?
Next week. Yes, time is all relative right now.
Time is just, you know.
But next week we'll talk. Exactly, we'll talk the National League, which should be fairly exciting to do. I think the NL a lot more closer races in the National League than the American League.
Yeah, it should be a fun one. Should be fun. That'll do it for this week's episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Thank you for listening to our American League preview and predictions. We will make sure to review this at the end of the season and see how accurate we were.
I will be perfect. Matt will be perfect where he agreed with me.
Sounds about right. Trey, I hope you have a good weekend. We'll do this again next week with the National League. All you listeners out there, thank you for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Leave us a review. It helps us.
Just wanted to throw out a quick update for this week's edition of the podcast. As I was editing and putting together the podcast, news broke from Mark Feinsand of MLB.com that Yasiel Puig is signing with the Atlanta Braves. So I know in this episode we talked about Puig and the fact that he has not signed with the team yet, but as of 4 p.m. on Tuesday, Mark Feinsand of MLB.com is reporting that Yasiel Puig is signing with the Atlanta Braves.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.